This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeremy Lopez, and once again, welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm thrilled you guys are joining with me every week, learning, diving into spiritual things to just really expand our horizons, get ourselves into the place of living unlimited, and getting us out of the rut of our lives. That's sort of the theme for me this hour, and I'm glad once again you guys have joined me today. So, and by the way, I want to tell you guys something. My book of the month for March just released. It just came out the other day. We've already sold hundreds of them, but they're actually called Soaking in the Spirit. Now, you might say, well, why did you refer to them as opposed to it as a book? Good question. The reason why is because people on the Book of the Month program, every once in a while, we will surprise them. Usually every 2 or 3 months, we will surprise them with a free study guide book that will complement the book itself that they're getting on the club. And also, those of you who are not on the Book of the Month club, you need to join, because every single month, you just pay $15 automatically. It just is deducted from your, you know, wherever you want it to deduct from, and you get the book at automatic $15. And most of the books, if not all of them, retail for at least $15.99 up into $17.99. Plus, also on the website, you have to buy the book and the study guide together as a combo, so you actually do pay for the study guide itself as well. On the Book of the Month Club, they get the study guide every 2 or 3 months free of charge. And if you live in the USA, you save shipping. So you're saving an additional probably $5 to $7 right there. So it's well worth the cost, folks. Well worth the cost. We have so many people on our Book of the Month program, and they tell me, Jeremy, for just $15 a month, I'm getting books every month from you that you're writing, brand new, before anyone else gets them. They're autographed, and plus you're sending us the workbooks or the study guide, whichever one you choose to put out for that month. And so I'm telling you guys, you're going to save a lot of money, but not even just save the money. You're going to get a lot of revelational things coming from my books. I do not believe, anyone that knows me will tell you, I do not believe in talking generic, just, you know, what's popular for the hour. I just don't believe in that. I believe in writing on things and subjects that people really want to know about, but they're scared to ask the questions. And that's what I love to do. So this month, for the month of March, I have my brand new book just released called Soaking in the Spirit. And the subtitle of this one is Strength from Stillness. Now, this book also, once again, has the study guide with it as well. You can buy it as a combo on the website. But I wanted to take a moment to say this, that when we deal with thoughts becoming things, we deal with what we think we attract, what we are, we become, and what we attract into our lives. All of that is so radically true. However, when it deals with strength from stillness, and it deals with soaking in the Spirit, I not only dive into the power of soaking in the presence of God and how that will affect your body, your soul, your life, your lifestyle, but also I deal with the fact of soaking in the Spirit also refers to the fact of learning to be still. I know many of you, if not all of you, that live in the Western world, we're always busy, 90 miles an hour every day from morning, noon, and night. In fact, I remember back in the 80s, the old country song that was called by Dolly Parton, it said, you know, working 9 to 5, because guess what? We're notorious for working 9 to 5 or even longer hours, and we don't get the proper rest, relaxation, the sleep we need. Therefore, we don't able to dream like we should, and in our dream state of consciousness is where God speaks to us. That's why I'm also a dream interpreter. So not only do I prophesy, but also give dream interpretations, because I'm able to get the mind of Christ for you and be able to dive into the understanding of what that is saying to you. There's always a significance, a power, a definition, an understanding within your dreams. And that's why it's so important to be able to get proper rest and relaxation and sleep. And plus, you want to move into the REM state of consciousness, to where your body's fully at rest. Because if you don't, you take years off your age. Believe it or not, you will die early. We're not being negative. It's a known fact that you take, you know, time off your body when you don't properly rest. And it takes away from your lifespan. Plus, when you don't get proper rest, it sort sort of doesn't help your immune system. When you get proper rest and relaxation in the natural, it helps boost your immunity. And plus also, not only in the side of the natural I dive into within this book, but we also talk about the supernatural, the spiritual side, where we deal with the fact that as you're resting in God, guess what? You will be affected by that anointing, that presence, that power of stillness that you're sort of wading in the water in. And that's a good thing, because you will hear more from God, you'll get more clarity from God. But not only is it a place where God speaks to you, but it's also a place of divine silence. And silence is golden, because it's so important, it's so needed. In your busy day, every day, you have got to find a break and live in the power of stillness and silence. It's amazing, because that's where you get the biggest strength. Just like the Bible says, you know, be still and know that I'm God. And the stillness of the being still is where you start knowing. And so the place of be still and know He's God means be still and you shall know. So when you're just still, guess what? Your knowing starts going crazy with you. Your knowing starts showing itself off. You begin to get into the place that you begin to know things. Isn't that supernatural and powerful? Plus, if you continue it, it's be still and know that I am God. So in the stillness, you begin to watch God unfold Himself and the mysteries and the revelations to you that you didn't know previous before. Now, on another note, when we deal with soaking in the Spirit, we also want to begin to target the fact that being in that place of soaking also begins to relax your mind, because your mind is always thinking at least 40,000 thoughts a day, science says. And knowing those 40,000 thoughts a day, it does begin to bring a lot more creativeness to creating your day and attracting the things in your life that you're thinking about or you're becoming. So in the place of stillness, that's where you begin to, your beingness begins to be shown the most. Think about that. When you're in your stillness, you're in your quiet zone, and you're in that place of just soaking, what happens is your identity begins to come more relevant. It begins to come out to you, and it begins to make itself known to you more. You know why? Because in the busyness of your work, the busyness of your titles at church, and the busyness of your family, the busyness of having to pay bills, and all those things, really none of them, here's what's powerful people don't realize, in none of those operations, actually, where you're authentic, your authenticity, your identity shine forth, because it's not really needed. Listen to me for a moment. Your identity is not fully needed when you're at work making X amount of dollars an hour, and you're doing accounting work. You know, your identity is not accounting or an accountant. You know, so when you see that, you realize also, when I'm in church and I'm being a pastor, or I'm a prophet of God, or I'm an apostle or a teacher or a bishop, whatever title these people love to put upon themselves, you have to begin to also realize that through that is that's a spiritual anointing, whether it's a spiritual gifting or spiritual office, that still does not define your identity. My office as a prophet in the body of Christ does not define my identity. God, when I came out of mother's womb, they didn't say, here's a prophet, we'll name him prophet. They named me Jeremy. And what that means fully is the fact that my identity is found in God, and my identity has a name that actually is Jeremy. And as I begin to get into the stillness of the moment of God, it's like the book of Revelation says, what happens is there's a new name written in glory. In other words, there's a new name, a new persona God begins to overshadow me with, which is actually my authentic self, my real identity that's been smeared and covered and for lack of better words, chopped up and diced through all my actions at work, all the hustle and bustle I have to do, because none of that's needed. Think about it. Your real authentic self is really not needed in your titles, nor paying bills, nor going to the park, nor taking your kids out to the baseball field, or going on vacation. Now, what I mean by that is this. It doesn't mean that you're not authentic in these things. What it means for you is your true identity is really not needed when you are doing accounting, because they don't care about who you are inside or what you do at home behind closed doors, nor do they care what's in your heart. All they care about is, I'm paying you to do accounting. That's it. And so to them, you're just a number. You're not a male. You're not a female. You know, to them, you're a cash flow. That's pretty much how you are. And that's understandable in the business world. Sad, but true. That's how they look at people. In the church, guess what? I can tell you numerous amounts of times where I was in the church, you know, as a prophet. And when I was, which I still am, but when I was all the time, people came to me and they never wanted to ask me what kind of food I liked, what kind of movies I liked, you know, what's my favorite place to shop, what's my favorite activity, what's my favorite sport. None of that was relevant. You know why? None of it mattered to them, because in the Western cultural world, we tend to look at the prophet more and the prophetic anointing more than we do the actual person giving it, which is, once again, unfortunate, because I don't want to be able to pull upon somebody's gifting if I don't know who they are, and if they don't know who they are, that's going to make it worse for me. Things like that do tend to bleed through, folks, through your giftings, by the way. Just giving you guys a hint. And so, said all that to say this, in this book, Soaking in the Spirit, I began to dive into the fact of how you can recover in that identity place. You can learn to recover and find yourself again in that stillness to where the real, authentic, genuine, higher version of who God created you to be, your identity, will automatically start flowing through even when you are doing things at work, even when you are taking your kids to the ballpark, even when you are, you know, moving in your giftings in church, because that's needed. But if you think about it, we live in a Western world where they tend to not need so much of that. They just need your money, your time, your energy, you know, your efforts, your talents, your giftings. That's all people need from you nowadays. And it's unfortunate, because you truly lose sight of who you really are. And so within the book, Soaking in the Spirit, and also within the study guide that is accompanied with the book, I begin to dive into what stillness does for you. I begin to dive into the fact how it's healthy for you. I begin to dive into the fact that you're going to have to learn to keep your mind at a place where it sort of, for lack of better words, shuts down for a minute. It's the same procedure as casting down vain imagination, because that means if you got vain imagination in your imagination, that means you have good imagination. And you don't cast down the good, you cast down the bad imagination, the Bible tells us. And through that, that means that if you cast out vain imaginations, or we'll say bad imaginations, what that means is your mind has to begin to recoup, correct? Come on, folks. Your mind has to begin to recoup. It needs to begin to restructure and recalculate, because you just took something from it and threw it down to the ground. And so through that, you've got to begin to learn to recalculate. And through recalculating, you've got to begin to understand there is a silent moment, a stillness. I like when people say it this way. When you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's interesting to me that between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, you notice how within your Bible, you tend to have like a empty page, a blank page. And the reason why, because history restarted itself. History rebooted. In other words, there was a restructuring that took place between the Old and the New Testament. Now, once again, we're not saying actually, you know, we can physically feel it, taste it, or smell it. But on the other hand, though, that empty page is a silence. It's a page of silence. It's a page of no writing, no words, no prophet spoken, no, you know, nothing about Christ, nothing about Moses. And the reason why we see it that way is because it is a rebooting, that history began to shift to where the greatest thing God wanted to do, which was a sign, that shifted to where cultures began to dive into a shift and a change, because like John the Baptist said, you know, here's Jesus, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. And what that means for you is it means that through that empty page, there's a stillness, there's a quietness, there's a rebooting, there's a restructuring. And so through that, we began to realize there was a silent period. Now, what's beautiful about the whole Bible to me is also in the book of Revelation, we read about it, and a lot of theologians have argued the fact, is it really 30-second silence? Is it 30 minutes? Is it 30 hours? Is it 300 years? We don't know. But we read in the book of Revelation where there is a silent period. Now, I want to dive into this just for a split moment. I want everyone to begin to understand there's a silent period within the book of Revelation. Why is that? Because it shows you at that moment you're getting ready to see something, or you're restructuring, or you're rebooting, or you're recalculating. Why? Because something is about to be revealed, which was the Christ. And so when you see that, you realize that activity will proceed after the stillness. Activity will come after the quietness. It's interesting to me that we know protocol of the Bible, because one verse in the Bible says, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. So that means that signs and wonders come after that sort of power of the word form coming out of our mouths, coming out of the Bible, coming out of our consciousness. Because after word form, that means there has to be a a manifestation, right? Because signs and wonders follow the word. Now, what that's saying is this: you begin to breathe the decree, you begin to speak the word, you begin to read the word, whatever word form you want to call it, rhema, logos, whatever, after that word form, that word begins to go forth and bring establishment when it deals with the facts of manifestation of signs and wonders. So therefore, guess what? Action does come. Manifestation does come. The sight comes after the unseen of your imaginations, thinking of the words and speaking them forth. So you've got to begin to understand that even the Bible matches up and backs up everything from attraction, but it also backs up the place of stillness, quietness. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. There's a quietness there. There's a stillness that the deer goes to. Deers go to the waters. And so because of it, there's a stillness there. And you understand, be still and know that I'm God. So there is a quiet, a silence there. And I dive into most of all this in my book and study guide. And so it's going to, if you really want to learn how to begin to dive into that stillness, that sort of, we call that meditative state, to where you're really resting and soaking in the glory and soaking in the presence of God, soaking in that vast energy, anointing presence that you know for a fact will change your life forever, change you forever, then I want to encourage each and every one of you, go to the website, identitynetwork.net. And there should be a banner on the homepage, or there should be something on the website. If not, you can just put soaking in the spirit within our search engine on the website of identitynetwork.net, and it'll pull up automatically. It's a combo set of the book and the study guide. But once again, it's called Soaking in the Spirit. It will help you tremendously how to begin to navigate your life, live longer, have more clarity of mind, get more directions and instructions from spirit, but also it'll put longevity of life upon you. It'll cause you to rest better. And most people who tell me, I don't know how to rest, for some reason I can't seem to sleep, I toss and turn. Well, because this book will help you to understand how to discipline yourself and move in the silence. Because you will never find the strength if you don't learn to be still. If you don't learn to get into the silence, you will never have the strength you need. Your body, your natural body, needs to be rebooted. Because before it reboots, guess what you do? You turn down your computer. If you want your computer to reboot itself, it's automatically going to shut itself down. When I do an update on my Mac computer, a major update on the whole structure of the, I think it's called the OS, you know, of the whole entire structure of the computer, it'll ask me, do you want to do this now? Do you want to do it later on? Do you want to put it off? Do you want me to do it tonight? And the computer asks you, and do you know why it does? Because it knows you might be doing some work, but yet it's got to shut down completely and reboot itself and restart itself. And so that's letting you know that in the moment of shutting everything down, in the sense of soaking in the presence and rebooting yourself, guess what? That means you're going to get a new upgrade. You're going to begin to get the latest trend of the system of the computer. And spiritually, you do the same thing. It reboots you and recalculates you. When people tell me, you know, I can't hear God anymore, I toss and turn at nighttime, I don't have clarity, I said, you know why? You don't meditate, do you? No, I don't. Well, that's your problem. You know, you don't learn to soak in the presence of God, do you? Nope, that's your problem. So the reason why most people have struggles in their life is literally because they don't know how to rest, have relaxation, sleep properly, but more importantly, soak. Soak in the place of meditating in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And plus, let me just drop it here before I close, is when you think about thoughts becoming things, you better have your mind crystal clear. You better have your mind a place where it's been resting, where it's been, you know, being still. Because if you're expecting to continue to draw things and attract things by a good consciousness and a strong mind that can imagine things that God has promised you through His prophetic word, His Bible, His will, whatever, then guess what? You better have your mind at rest to where it can jump in there and it can create a masterpiece through the imagination of God, through the mind of Christ within inside of you. So is it important that you get rest? Yes. When you don't get rest, you don't get clarity. When you don't get clarity, you will find your mind getting lazier and lazier, and you'll think things you don't want to think, and you'll attract the same things out of laziness, out of lazy thoughts, because you were not disciplined enough to give yourself a break, give yourself a rest, and just soak and be. So this book, this combo set will totally reboot your life, transform you, and you'll have more strength. And let me also say this to you guys, if you don't mind. Now, soaking in the Spirit and resting and sleeping, yes, they're different. They're different components, but they all do one thing, and that is they teach you the power of stillness. And one of the things I tell people all the time, a lot of people, might be you, the listener, a lot of people are overweight. A lot of people are overweight. And one of the main reasons why they are overweight is not just because of exercise, maybe the lack of exercise. That's true, 100% true. But also, you don't get proper rest. When you don't learn to rest, guess what happens? Your body will store it up and you will get fatter and fatter. No offense, I don't like that word fatter or fat, but the truth is you will gain weight. So you have to learn to be still. For your body's sake, for your soul's sake, for your clarity of attracting into your life's sake, for every reason known to man, you're going to have to learn to rest and soak in the presence of the Almighty God. So go to the website and you can download the combo book and study guide today, Soaking in the Spirit, or you can order them as hard copies. And as you do that, we'll ship them out first thing today or first thing tomorrow morning, and you'll get them arriving in the mail, the book and the study guide. But folks, Soaking in the Spirit is where it is right now. It's what you need to be doing, and it will definitely calm you, calm your nerves. It'll cause your body to begin to not be so anxious. It'll cause your mind not to be so stressed out, because that's what soaking in the stillness of the presence of God does for you. It literally recalculates everything in your beingness. Folks, thank you today for joining in. Like always, I always have this amazing audience. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast week after week, month after month, year after year. You guys are family to us. We love you, and we love the praise reports you guys are sending into us through our customer service email here at the ministry. And I'm loving testimonies. I want to know what you're attracting this hour. I want to know what you've been manifesting. I want to know what you've been thinking. Let me know. Let me know what the ministry's meant to you. Let me know what maybe some of the greatest things you've ever felt like Jeremy taught on, I taught on. You know, let me know what basically would minister to you, because I want to be able to help you guys to get where you need to be in your life. That's my main goal. Get you where you need to be and you explode in that moment with everything God has for you. And as I close today, I always say this in the podcast, and it's so awesome and so true, because I do this every morning of every day, and that is this: go and create the day you want in your life. Use the paintbrush of the colors of your imagination through the mind of Christ and paint today how you want your day to look. And as you do that, your day will turn out just like that. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.